morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, here we are. It's already June, which is, of course, our hottest month, but I don't think we're ever really prepared for these 100-degree days.
Never, never. The older I get, the harder it is to acclimate to the summertime.
I know. Well, before we start talking about the heat and what we really should be doing in our gardens and landscapes to sort of accommodate for the heat, let's talk about some of the events that are happening in the region that are gardening related. And of course, every Saturday, it's the Artovinos Farmers Market in Sunland Park, New Mexico. And that got underway just a few weeks ago. And how's it going? Going pretty strong?
It's great. A lot of great foot traffic out there. As you know, the Master Gardeners have their information table, and as well as they also host a garden talk each Saturday morning at the patio. And that schedule is posted at every information table at the Farmers Market. So you can certainly stop by at 8:30 and listen to one of our Master Gardeners give a timely and related topic where he could be able to answer your questions. And it's really exciting, and they should be having some tomatoes start coming in from their demonstration area. So we're excited about that, but definitely out there promoting gardening in our area and our challenges that are attached to that.
Well, sort of as an aside, you know, tomatoes are always so big and so popular around here. Is it exclusive to El Paso, or is tomato the most popular?
It is the most popular vegetable grown in home gardens. It's definitely the tomatoes. It just depends on your location or which variety you like to plant that really sets us apart. But as far as tomatoes, they're very popular. In horticulture, they say you need to know three things: trees, turf, and tomatoes.
All the T's.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there is ever going to be a year where even the most experienced tomato growers are going to have questions about their tomatoes. And I'm sure there are tomato talks as part of those.
Oh, most definitely.
Garden talks that you have at Artovinos. And again, those Artovinos Farmer Market talks are every Saturday. The market itself is Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 12 noon, every Saturday through mid-October. And another event that's coming up here very soon on June 22nd, it's already, gosh, next week. Wow. It's the Sunscape Gardening Workshop. And this is a great workshop for people who are maybe new to the region or who have even been living here all their lives, but maybe have just sparked their curiosity about what's growing around them here in the desert region. Maybe they've had bad luck with maybe growing a globe willow on the east side. Well, learn from your mistake and find out how you can make your landscape successful at the Sunscape Workshop. It's happening 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. next Saturday, June the 22nd, at the Centennial Museum on the UTEP campus. And our good friends John White and Oscar Mestis are going to be a couple of the presenters there leading the workshop. It's only $25 for the whole workshop, and space is limited, so you better get in on it right away if you're interested in participating. They host a couple of these per year, right?
Yes, one in the fall as well. So it's a really great opportunity to get an overall overview of gardening in the desert. And then that's really going to be a segue into other programs that they do host and tours and the native plant sale. You can see how that all kind of it becomes one big circle as far as how to improve your garden and your gardening techniques.
And the really convenient thing about these workshops is that they are in the Centennial Museum, which is right adjacent to the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens, which can actually show you how many of these native and adapted plants can actually apply to one's own landscape.
One of the largest collection of native Chihuahuan desert plants are housed in that garden. So it's definitely a place to be and learn.
That workshop is again next Saturday, and you can register by calling 747-8994. That's 747-8994. You can also get the information on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Also on the Good to Grow page, you'll be able to find information on a homemade and organic fertilizers workshop taking place Saturday, July 6th. From 9 to 11 a.m. at the Mountain View Market Farm in Mesilla. That's on Snow Road in Mesilla, New Mexico. You can learn about fertilizing your crops without the use of any harmful synthetic chemicals. And you know, Denise, we were actually talking with Bill a few weeks ago about some of these homemade fertilizers. Well, learn for yourself at this workshop on Saturday, July the 6th. Registration is required, and there is a cost associated, $15 if you're a member of the Mountain View Market Co-op, $20 if you're a non-member. Space is limited. You can register by calling 575-523-0436. That's 575-523-0436, or visit mountainviewmarket.com. Co-op. That's mountainviewmarket.coop. And full disclosure, Mountain View Market is one of KTEP's underwriters. And of course, we want to thank them for their support. And again, you can get information on this workshop by visiting the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, Denise, we've got some June tips to be talking about this month, and it's been so unbearably hot that a lot of people may not even be wanting to go out into their yards. I was out there a couple of Saturdays ago yanking out penstemons, and oh my God, it was really hard to get through those 3 hours in the morning. It was the morning and I was already burning up. But there are things that people need to be doing, and we were just talking about fertilizing, and I think this is a good time to be applying some light fertilizer to our flowers.
Definitely onto our flower beds. And the most important thing is whether you use an organic based fertilizer or a conventional fertilizer is to know what you're applying and those rates of nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium that are going into that. So that's definitely the key, whatever route that you decide to choose. If you're looking at your garden centers, you're going to be able to see two different types of fertilizer, your slow release or your readily available fertilizers. And the flowers really benefit from both of them. The slow release is going to have that continuous long wearing effects on that. It'll slowly break down into your bed. And then that quick water-soluble one is one that you mix up and you spray or you pour on with your container, and you get that water and that boost of nutrients that you need. And also, if you have an established lawn, an established turf, it's also a good time to apply some fertilizer to your turf as well. If you want to make that grass that you have, hopefully it's a Bermuda-type grass that's going to be drought-tolerant and heat-tolerant. But the stronger that your grass or your turf is, it's going to be easier to weed out all of the other weeds that are trying to invade the space. If you have a thick mat of grass, your weed problem is going to be really eliminated with that. So that's one other benefit of having your nutrition level high in your grass.
Is there a specific time of the day, I'm assuming there is, that you want to put in your fertilizer? Of course, you don't want to put it on in the middle of the afternoon on your grass or your flowers because you have a chance of burning those plants. But would the early morning, or would you say the early evening would be the best time to apply those fertilizers?
I like the early morning because depending on the fertilizer directions, it may ask you to water that in. So you want to make sure that you're within the watering restrictions of the day, and early morning is the best way to get that fertilizer to contact with the grass itself and then add it with that water so it can start breaking down and becoming available to the grass.
Is it okay, like if you have that granular fertilizer that maybe you're spreading across your lawn, you may have your sprinkler set off to go the following morning, would you be able to spread that fertilizer the evening before? Or is it bad to let that granular fertilizer just sort of sit there overnight?
It depends. If it's a slow-release fertilizer, it's not really going to do much until it's activated by temperature and water. But if it is one that's going to be readily available, a fast-acting one, then you don't want to really risk that. You can probably add some water just to make sure that it not just starts activating, but it also stays on the turf area. You don't want it to kind of blow away off into a corner that you don't want it to be in, or even ruin your hardscapes like your cement area. So it's one thing to just kind of keep it in close contact with those roots of the grass.
Well, speaking of lawns, a lot of people are doing a lot of yard work. They're doing a lot of mowing. But perhaps there are people who aren't mowing frequently enough. And I think there are those among us who have maybe let the grass grow a little too long, and then you mow it and the grass looks dead underneath. And this is why we want to encourage frequent mowing.
Right, exactly. What you want to do is you want to mow, and you don't want to take more than a third off that blade of that leaf of the grass itself. So that's why when you have a very tall grass and you put your mower setting on, and that's why it almost looks like it's burnt. Because what you're doing is you're just cutting that way too deep in there. So you want to do that light mowing frequently, and then that way you don't really remove too much grass at one time so that you don't see that burnt effect, if you will. But also those smaller clippings can be actually left onto the grass, and then those will break down and become a sense of fertilizer for your grass.
Well, this is also a really good time, if you can stand the heat, to go out and check your trees and your roses and your other plants for pests, because especially if they haven't been in the best of health, maybe during the early spring or through the winter, as we've determined with a lot of our trees who suffered with the drought and then with the freeze and then with the heat, a lot of those trees that may not be doing so well may be inviting pests and other harmful insects to invade them. And I think that's just something that we need to keep an eye out for. And this is a good enough time as any.
Definitely. You know, spider mites are number one issue on our Italian cypress trees. Love the hot and dry weather. So that's really what we're going to look out for, are the webbing effects on those types of trees. And then you just get a piece of paper and shake off the branch. And if you see little spots coming off there, those are your spider mites. Miticides are they're not very readily available, per se, for the backyard gardener. You can look at other pesticides that you can use to get rid of them. But I also like just that soapy water, that strong spray of water that really knock them off and physically remove them off your plants. Other garden pests are your aphids. Those guys like to live underneath the leaves as well. If you see ladybugs in your garden, that's a good sign because they're going to eat your aphids. And also one other thing in your vegetable gardens, squash bugs are going to start to become a problem. Those are those large gray squash bugs that live underneath and around your squash vines. They become a pest really quick. So you want to make sure that you knock off those eggs when you see them.
Well, speaking of vegetables, I remember when, I guess it was a couple of years ago, I was growing some cherry tomatoes in a pot. And it was usually about this time when the heat was getting pretty high that you would see plenty of blooms, but you wouldn't see any tomatoes. And I think that might be a common question that you guys get pretty frequently. I'm getting plenty of blossoms on my tomato plants, but there is nothing coming out. It's just blossoms and the flowers die and that's it. And that's partly to do with the heat. Isn't that correct?
Exactly. Once the temperature gets way too hot, that tomato plant essentially turns off, so you won't get that fruit set. So you'll still have the leaves and the blooms going, but there's no fruits. That is proper planting time, so you want to make sure that you get your tomato plants in the ground or in your large container by no later than the end of March in our area. And then, unfortunately, there's not much we can do about it now, so we can't apply any kind of chemicals. We can't lower the temperature. really, we have no control over that. So whatever tomatoes that you do have set, watch them and pick them when they're mature. And then don't worry about that. You're going to have a later tomato crop. So as soon as those temperatures start cooling off, then you'll start seeing a bump in your tomato set. So that's just the one common thing, is that timing is critical in El Paso because it gets really way too hot, really way too quick.
And I was actually seeing, not even 2 weeks ago, they were still selling tomato plants outside some of the grocery stores.
Right, exactly. And that's because they're so popular and people recognize them in the store and they want them and they like the taste. But that's really going to be your biggest limiting factor in El Paso for that. So look into the fall for planting that. But you're really past the window for planting any new tomato seedlings right now.
Well, also speaking of tomatoes, I think blossom end rot is something that some of our listeners may be seeing on some of their tomatoes if their watering hasn't quite been up to par.
Right, exactly. That's really a physiological issue with the tomato plants, and you can look at calcium being a deficient nutrient in the soil. That's really not the case in El Paso because we tend to have enough calcium in our soil. But really, it's also looking into the fact of the irrigation timing and the intervals on that. And when a plant is really looking into maturing their fruit, that energy is going to be into that one little tomato plant. So that's when timing of irrigation is also critical as well. You don't want to let them wilt, but then also you don't want to overwater them too, because then that also can induce your cracking and unsightly tomatoes. Now, as far as anything being quote unquote wrong with a tomato that has blossom end rot, that's certainly okay to eat. You just remove that little necrotic tissue on that. It just makes it a little unsightly, but it's not harmful to us.
And you don't want to give that one to your neighbor or to your mom, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. But you can certainly chop it up for your salad.
Well, we have a complete list of your June gardening tips online at ktep.org. Just visit the Good to Grow page. And you can also listen to some of our past shows, including the last 3 weeks that we had with Oscar Mestas, in case you missed those. There are some very informative shows about tree care in the region. Again, go to ktep.org and go to the Good to Grow page. And if you have any questions about gardening in the region, you can call the Master Gardener Hotline at 566-1276, 566-1276. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.